fighting for America.
Here at the home of the team, with the most famous Statue of Liberty play in history, I don't need to remind you that big things happen late in the fourth quarter.
Fighting for Idaho.
We are here fighting for the voiceless, especially the children who are conceived in rape and incest, because their lives matter, just like a child conceived with wine and roses.
Fighting for you.
I came in Monday morning. I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Your show always delivers.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. I have to say that I agree with our friend Tom Brady there. This isn't ISIS. This isn't the death of the king of Saudi Arabia, which happened. Who knows what that means for our stability in that region. We'll find out about that coming up. The Yemeni's government falling. You know, before we get to our friend Ken Ivory, I try my very best to share and to save and to talk about things that I've experienced. And it's always easier when we're doing things to say, well, you need to be uncomfortable. You need to go through things that just aren't normal or natural. And for me, that's the social media stuff with the blogging and the Facebook. And it kind of reminds me of working with my friend Paul Feinbaum, who is a brilliant writer. Me, I'm a novice blogger at best. But as we talked about, I wrote a column called Obama's Idaho, where I predicted that Obama would make a land grab for the Boulder White Clouds. And I said, look, I hope that I'm wrong. And I said that Congressman Simpson could be the back channel to Boehner through Obama. And the reaction that we got from the libs calling me stupid, calling me this, calling me all these names. And then when I said that the reason why we publicized this was to send a message to keep your hands, Mr. Obama, off our lands. And I think that we did out the president and we stopped him from making that land grab. The results from the passionate left online have been utterly amazing. Ripping me, saying I'm useless, calling me all these names just for expressing an opinion that Idaho should keep its lands. Well, joining us now is a young man that knows all about this, Ken Ivory, state representative from Utah, legislator of the year throughout the country, and of course from the American Lands Council, who has helped educate me on presidential land grabs and everything else. And I thought, if I had this huge scoop, if I was the Nostradamus of the lands issue, we'd have Ken on to say, attaboy, Kevin. But we are still going to talk about the lands issue because this is important. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. It is important. Idaho, as much of the West, was founded on very rugged people who came west for a little piece of dirt, sometimes even just desert dirt, so they could be left alone and govern themselves and pass the opportunity for prosperity on to their children. And the question really is now, what are we going to do for our children? Are we going to pass on that liberty, that property, that self-governance, or are we going to acquiesce to a centralizing government that is disregarding entirely our system where the jurisdiction over the land within a state resides with the state? And that's a big issue.
Well, I agree with you, and it's funny because we've had people here, whether it was the mayor of Boise, that we paid for his ride back from Washington, D.C., probably his ride to Washington, D.C., his ride back on Air Force One, where he personally lobbied the president to take the Boulder White Clouds. We had Loud for the Clouds. They were lobbying the president to do this. Our lieutenant governor said, not so fast, my friend, to the president. We put out an article 2 days before that outed the issue before it happened. Presidents like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama want to have legacies, and taking a huge part of Idaho might fit this guy's agenda.
Yeah, unfortunately, we kind of started the precedence on this. I shouldn't say we in Utah, but President Clinton in Utah started a precedence that had never happened before with the Escalante Grand Staircase National Monument. That was created under circumstances where his own staff was saying it didn't warrant designation. it didn't warrant the type of protection they were putting on. It was unprecedented for a president to create a monument of that size without ever discussing it with the local people and having the consent of the state, the jurisdiction of the state legislature, to create a monument. And yet standing in Arizona, he created a 2-million-acre national monument that locks up, by some estimates, $2 trillion of the world's cleanest burning coal. So, that's an issue that we're still smarting over very mightily. That's something that we've taken off the table that we still want to discuss and work through in the Transfer of Public Lands Act in Utah. But, this whole issue of the president with the stroke of a pen can go out and lock up whatever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever he wants, does not comport with the Constitution that says that Congress and the United States can only obtain land if they purchase it with the consent of the legislature for certain purposes. It makes sense because they can go lock up whatever land, wherever, however, whenever they want. There really is no meaning to being a state. You're simply at the mercy of your federal partner, and that defies the very nature of this compound republic where the states are supposed to be an independent check to the arbitrary power of the federal government, the Supreme Court said just 2 years ago, reiterating our principles of government.
Ken Ivory joining us from the American Lands Council. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, talking about the last 2 years of the president's administration. Ken, I know you monitor this all the time, and you are to a degree familiar with the Boulder-White Cloud region. Are you surprised that the president didn't make the grab that he was here? He turned it into a pep rally.
I'm afraid not much surprises us anymore. We've been hoping that our federal partner would act in good faith like Canada is doing with its provinces and territories. Canada over the last decade, Kevin, has transferred land, water, and resources to the provinces and the territories because they discovered this really amazing truth. They said, we discovered that when we put the decisions for land, water, and resources in the hands of the people closest to the matter, we get better decisions. Imagine that, right?
It would be nice if the states could actually have states' rights again.
Yeah, and that really is our fault. John Dickinson, early on, one of the prominent founders, said it will be their own faults if the several states suffer the federal sovereignty to interfere in the things of their jurisdiction. And so some of the words, if I were to put out three words that people need to understand, just three words, one would be the word claims in Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 of the Constitution. The second would be jurisdiction. The Supreme Court 2 years ago said jurisdiction over health, safety, welfare, over the lives, liberties, and properties of the people is possessed by the states, but not the federal government. And then they also said states are separate and independent sovereigns. Sometimes they have to act like it. And the third word I would urge us all to use in our conversation and understand is the word union. The Supreme Court just a year and a half ago said our nation was and is a union of states equal in dignity, power, and authority, and that the constitutional equality of the states is essential to the harmonious operation of the republic. When you look at Idaho, 62% federally controlled, and your congressional representatives and county commissioners have to beg annually, as do commissioners around the West, have to beg annually for PILT, payment in lieu of taxes, the taxes they would otherwise be able to generate if they controlled all their land like they do in Nebraska and Iowa and Illinois. Illinois that was once 96% federally controlled, Missouri more than 90% federally controlled, Louisiana more than 90% federally controlled, they stood up like independent states, formed a union, understood their jurisdiction, and understood that word claims, which meant that the federal government was nothing more than a trustee over the lands of the West to dispose of them at statehood. And if they sold lands in disposing, used the proceeds to pay the debt of the Revolutionary War, and form distinct Republican states. Our Supreme Court knows that. We just have to know that in our states and band together like Illinois and Missouri and Arkansas and Louisiana did to stand up for the very same constitutional equality, which is the essence and the foundation of our republic.
Well, it still comes down to getting an executive to buy into this. The legislature's ready to go, Ken.
Well, traditionally in our system, the legislature was always deemed as the most powerful branch because they control the purse strings. And so if the legislature really were to stand up, and these are difficult things. I mean, it takes courage. The legislature controls the budget. They control what's funded and not funded. But yes, to have executives who will stand up and really go to battle, just as Thomas Hart Benton, the Democratic senator, U.S. senator from Missouri, did, put the whole West at that time, which was, you know, Indiana, Illinois, and whatnot, down to Florida. Yeah, it would be really helpful to have them stand up and advocate and use their bully pulpit and educate throughout the states and beyond. And when people like Secretary Babbitt dial up like he did yesterday at an outdoor retailers convention and say, this is just a bunch of radical right-wingers and it's just a political stunt. No, Secretary Babbitt, this is about keeping in good faith the very same statehood terms to Idaho and Utah and the western states that the United States kept with all states east of Colorado. Why would we not do that?
Ken Ivory joining us from the American Lands Council here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. So we've talked about Idaho and the Boulder White Clouds region. Ken, what about other states? Do you expect the president to go on a perhaps land-grabbing shopping spree before the end of his term?
Well, we know he just did the 500,000-acre monument in New Mexico recently. That's an area rich in rare earth minerals. Our military national defense industry, right now our national defense technology, Kevin, is dependent. Without rare earth minerals, it doesn't function, nor does our computer technology, electronic technology, renewable energy technology. Cannot function without rare earth minerals. Right now, 95% of the rare earth minerals that our military and renewable energy electronics technology is dependent upon comes from China. China knows this. The price is going exponential. And they've even said that a few months down the road, we're going to cut you off. And Kevin, our military can't function without that. And we've got rare earth minerals all over the West. You've got them in Idaho, Colorado, Utah, in New Mexico, a very rich source of these rare earth minerals just locked up in a national monument. And our military simply cannot function without them.
Ken, what else should we expect from the president here and from the American Lands Council in the next 6 months? What are you guys up to?
Well, what we're up to, we've got a number of states working on taking the next steps. You know, of course, our governor laid out the four steps forward. It's education, negotiation, as they did in Canada, legislation, and litigation. And so we've got a number of members of Congress that are working on legislation to move forward to transfer public lands. We need people to tell someone. Get out and tell people about this. Get to the website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. You can sign a very short petition. You can share information with others. But tell someone, and then tell your leaders. Tell your leaders that if our forebears, at great personal sacrifice, came to secure land and liberty and self-governance at no cost to us, should we not do the same for our posterity and encourage them to get involved and start moving forward in this? Those are critical things. As far as the American Lands Council, we're working with states all over the West, all over the nation, in fact. Eastern states are picking up resolutions to support the transfer of public lands. States are beginning to follow on the study resolutions that were done in Nevada and Utah and Montana. Beginning to move forward on some jurisdictional things where we define our jurisdiction and simply act. I mean, Kevin, when you've got, like up in Benoit County, you've got a fire hazard that is so intense. And like the 1910 fire, they actually had trains that you could get out. You had an escape route with some roads and trains and whatnot. Those are all gone. But with the roadless rules, they've shut down all the ingress, egress, so firefighters can't get in. You don't have fire breaks. And most importantly, one spark, and those people can't get out, and their industry's been locked up and decimated. At some point, we have to stand up, and rather than say, let's wait for the next spark, and our watershed is gone, the animals are dead, the air's been polluted, the habitat is destroyed for decades, our economy is destroyed, and wonder, gee, why didn't we do something when we saw this coming? We see it coming. We know it's coming. We need to act now to abate that nuisance created by our federal partner and protect life, liberty, property, health, safety, welfare.
Ken, we appreciate American Lands Council. Check those folks out, and thank you for making yourself available so early today, sir.
Hey, it's my pleasure always, Kevin. This is as critical as it gets. This needs to be one of the top presidential issues in 2016. It is national security. It is national economic self-reliance. It is the only solution big enough to stop this massive environmental degradation in the West. Thank you for having us on. AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Sign the petition, log in, and get in the game.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend, Ken Ivory. Kevin Miller in the morning, 620. Coming up, is Deflategate, well, is Deflategate more important than the fall of the Yemeni's government, what's going on in Saudi Arabia, and a possible gas hike? Details on those stories and more with me, Kevin Miller, next. Time for traffic.
It's time that the American people stood up to this president.
I'm feeling like I'm actually living under a bureaucratic dictatorship.
I am disgusted with what President Barack Obama is doing with immigration.
As evil as I think Obama is, I had a great feeling that everything's going to be okay. This is in God's hands.
Let's get it started.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
You know something? We have a calling to be together each and every morning, and the progressives, the libs, whether we agree with them or disagree with them, we don't hate them. We love them in a heterosexually appropriate way, and it's interesting that people look at me kind of funny when I say that and say that that now is hate speech. Yes, it's actually hate speech. I was having a big discussion with a coworker of mine at work yesterday, and he goes, I can't believe that you're not in favor of gay marriage, as if societal values and norms don't seem to matter. And I know that we do have a big following in the gay community. We do have a big following in the prison community. The prisoners write me letters all the time, and I'm glad that they do, because, look, getting through buildings with an AM signal is very difficult, so we appreciate those people that are incarcerated that are listening. To our gay brothers and sisters, we appreciate you listening as well, whether you agree or disagree with what we're talking about. But I find it fascinating that when you have an opinion that is about God, that is about your own belief system, without attacking anybody else's, the vitriol, the hate spewing from the left, well, it's shocking, not surprising, because, and we'll talk to Congressman Stallings about this, the left is very intolerant if you don't bunch in with their tolerance agenda. You know, I'll be driving around, and maybe I'll drive into a store, and someone will say, you know, have a sign, I'm gay, deal with it. Well, and if I put I'm hetero, deal with it, it would be interpreted as being mean-spirited on my part, but tolerant on the others. We talk about equality, but we only want equality when it benefits the leftist side. And I hate to get too spooky with you on this Friday morning. Yeah, we'll get to Deflategate. We'll wish Jeff Gordon a happy retirement. But it was really brought home to me the sheer vitriol and, again, the intolerance of the left. And this has happened to me my entire life. People always say, Kevin, you have to talk about your life. I don't like to really delve too much into my personal life, just because you make me, you know, it's okay to smack me, but my friends, my family, that's just not appropriate. And legislators have told me that if they have talked about being against Add the Words, or activists that have talked to me about being against Add the Words, you wouldn't believe the hate email that the promoters of tolerance, the bullies of the politically correct agenda, permeate. I hope you die. You're a sick, twisted person. I hope your family does these things. And this happens all the time. It's not reported by the pro-Add the Words media. This is the same media that, as my daddy told me many, many times, and I'm living proof of it, if I had a brain, but if the media in this town and in this country had a brain, they'd be dangerous. By the way, congratulations, Idaho Statesman, for picking up on a story I've been talking about for a week. Not I, we've been talking about for a week. How much did Obama charge up to the Chinese to pay for his Boise trip? They attempted, of course, they downplayed the costs. We'll talk a little bit about that. They attempted to make a run at that. But look, we got stuck with the bill. The country got stuck with the bill. And quite frankly, I'd like to know how much it costs to fly as a passenger on Air Force One. Will the city of Boise reimburse the White House for Mayor Beter's trip? Now, I know the politically correct press will go, look at the mayor. He got to ride on Air Force One. Isn't that great? Hey, how was the ride, Mr. Mayor? And the mayor will, again, who always has an open invitation to come on this program, but he sees no value in you or me. He just sees a value in the amen corner of the local press.
I tell you, everything it should be, it was. As cool as you think it would be, it was that cool.
Right.
You know how it's rare when, you know, your picture of things and your dream of it is the same as the actual doing of it.
Right, and here's the skinny on that. If you or I flew on Air Force One, they would charge us. If a working member of the media went on Air Force One, they would charge them. The city of Boise should be charged by the administration for Beter's trip. No one will bring that up. The statesman attempting to, again, follow our lead on this. But coming up, I've got a young lady that says I'm evil, that I'm self-loathing, that I'm a hate-filled guy because I'm overweight. And we'll share that with you for your entertainment only. Next, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Abe Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I have no knowledge of anything. I felt like we won the game fair and square.
Hi, Media KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll talk to Tanya J. Powers of Fox News with the latest on Deflategate and why this is such a big darn deal. Some hate mail going after Kevin Miller because I'm a fatty. People say that I'm filled with hate because I say love you in a heterosexually appropriate way. And a preview, I suppose, of the Add the Words campaign. Before we get to that, though, how about this? Apple is thinking about coming out this year, I'm not kidding, with an iPhone 7. Didn't we just get the iPhone 6? Haven't we jumped the shark? Who knows? From the Christian Post, Apple fans can expect the iPhone 7 will have the traditional 4.7-inch screen rather than the bigger screen from the iPhone 6 Plus. Apparently, it's going to have the A9 together an M9 coprocessor, which will make it perform faster. Here's something that's new. They're going to allegedly have the long-awaited wireless charging. Can anybody figure that one out? Wireless charging. Apparently, that's one of the new features. The device will display icons on the sides of the phone. Aside from that, a sidewall display is reportedly in the works. The side-to-unlock function will probably be located at the sides of the iPhone 7, as well as music controls, message notifications, and caller ID. No word whether or not we're going to have the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 before or after that. But apparently, Apple not wasting any time getting ready for the big iPhone 7 coming to a shopping center or an Apple store near you. And you think about that, how many of us, you know, in the old days, we'd buy a refrigerator. We'd have that refrigerator for 20 years, or a washer or a dryer or a phone at home. Remember, the new thing was when you'd get the rotary dials and you'd get colored rotary dials. And then you'd not only get colored rotary dials, but then you'd get the push buttons. And then the push buttons had designs on them like Mickey Mouse or Batman holding the phone, and now we're getting new iPhones every year. Amazing. Joining us now, Tanya J. Powers, live from Fox News Radio, Midtown Manhattan, perhaps. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
So, Deflategate, it's bigger than the fall of the Yemeni's government, King Fahd, and just about everything else. Why?
Yes. Could you imagine this a week ago, that a football thing would be bigger than that?
Well, as a Patriots fan, we're just victims.
Oh, really? Really? You just said Patriots fan and victim in the same sentence.
We're victims of our success, Tanya.
That is the first time I've heard that today.
Well, at least we have a first here. But we have this great story that you're talking about, your colleagues on the Big Fox are talking about, the networks are talking about, not just the sports one, but the news one. From your perspective, why is this grabbing the attention of the nation?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, it's the Super Bowl, so a lot of people are interested in the first place. You got folks on both sides of the fence, people who are fans who are saying, hey, well, you know, they're taking up for their team. And then you got folks on the other side who really think that, you know, maybe a couple of other teams should be in the Super Bowl, and they're not happy with the way things turned out anyway. And you've got no shortage of fantastic sound bites and hashtags galore. I mean, how could this not be a story?
I suppose, you know, and we could go over the hashtags, but we had a big news conference yesterday, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and many folks said that it actually made the situation worse rather than better.
It kind of did. There were several reasons. One of those is because Bill Belichick yesterday during the morning had a press conference and said basically, I don't know what happened here. I coach the team. I don't deal with the footballs or the equipment, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. And then he said, oh, and Tom Brady's coming up this afternoon to tell you more. So then he kind of, you know, threw it to Tom. Later in the afternoon, Tom Brady took the microphone and gave social media just, you know, gift after gift of different things that he said and the sound bites and the whole nine yards. But did say, I mean, this was the constant through both of those. Look, I don't know what happened. I didn't deflate any footballs. I don't know of anything that was done intentionally. The NFL is still investigating, so, you know, there's no definitive word yet.
Boy, just the coverage of the former players. And Tanya, my perspective, and I know you're dying to hear this, my perspective as it is, look, all these people that are against the Patriots, they lost to them. They're sore losers, and this is payback time.
And a lot of people agree with you. A lot of people say exactly that. Look, you lost and you're mad and that's all there is to it. Even one of the Colts players tweeted and said, look, they could have used bars of soap and they would have still beaten us.
So I wonder what's going to happen. Is there any truth to the rumor that you might be going undercover to investigate this situation, going to Foxborough itself and talking to these folks?
You know, there is no truth to the rumor whatsoever. As much as I would like to,
sure,
I'd love to get to the bottom of this just like everybody else would. I think we'll have to wait until the NFL gives its report on what's going on. And don't you know that they were probably thinking, good, it's 2015. We're past a lot of controversy. We left that in 2014. Maybe not.
I'm with you, but I guess it comes back to the integrity of the game.
Right, which is the bottom line for a lot of people here, and they say, look, if there was cheating or if there was tampering with the equipment, that's cheating, and I mean, a lot of people do have a problem with it simply because of the fact that there is that, you know, accusation out there.
Well, maybe the accusation will just be that, and perhaps it'll be just some guy that was a rabid equipment manager that went off the grid and did these things without anybody noticing. That's what I'm spinning.
It could be. I mean, there's any number of things that, you know, could have happened. And like I said, it just kind of depends on how you look at it, whether you're a fan or not, or whether you even, you know, care or not. It's kind of subjective at this point because we don't know, you know, what their findings are going to uncover.
Well, Tanya, at least we're not going to have you do what they did on the Today Show. Poor Matt Lauer, you know, gripping footballs, he and Al Roker, and I'm going, really, guys? Really?
Oh, well, that's a shame because I do have some props here, but you really can't see them because it's radio. But I told them they were necessary anyway, and they were nice enough to get them for me. And honestly, I can't tell the difference in these two footballs, so I don't know. I mean,
you
I'm not
see?
A quarterback for the Patriots either. So.
You and Tom Brady are vindicated.
Yes, because I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. I'm gonna use our incredible lobbying effort to make that happen for you.
Well, you get on that, Kevin, and let me know how that works out.
Tanya J. Powers, thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
There we have it. She couldn't tell the difference. I don't know what the big deal is. The integrity of the game. Oh, the Patriots cheated again. Do we have nothing else to talk about? Even the jabronis on late-night television got into the act.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady gave a press conference today, and he said that after equipment managers prepare the footballs, this is a quote, he doesn't want anyone touching the balls or rubbing the balls because the balls are perfect. Then members of the press took a 45-minute giggle break.
That's also the most popular line from the 50 Shades of Grey movie that's coming out of the same line.
The amount this week that the inflation or deflation of balls is in the news. I wake up every morning wishing I was still 9 years old.
Former NFL referee Jerry Austin told ESPN all of the balls were underinflated, which was very good news for the OCD community.
The New England Patriots, my team, I got to admit, I'm from Boston. Okay, get it out now. Get it out. Get it out.
Cheater! 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 Cheater!
Let's hear what Tom Brady had to say about it.
When I felt him, they were perfect. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone touching those. I would zip those things up and lock them away until I got out on the field and had the opportunity to play with them, and that's what I thought I was doing.
I know he actually said that. And I think that's part of it, that everybody's having fun with the double entendre. The integrity of the game, we'll talk a little bit about that. 580-5436. And the cost of the presidential rub here to the Treasure Valley, that is next. Currently it is 6:48:28. In Star, Idaho, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436. Sad to see my buddy Jeff Gordon retiring from NASCAR. By the way, our NASCAR driver of the day, we will reveal that next hour. Remember, when you hear that driver between 7 and 9, be caller 10 at 580-5436 to register to win that trip to the Daytona 500, courtesy of MCA Nashville and 580KIDO. By the way, you can also go to our All Access Club and register there as well. Free trip to the Daytona 500, possibly the last one for Jeff Gordon racing as a full-time driver. So, you know, it's funny. I'm sitting here reading the email in the morning, and I just wondered when it would finally hit. And this show, I think, has turned a corner thanks to you putting up with me. And when you say certain things, and sometimes we say things to see if we're going to get a reaction. And, you know, when a guy says, hey, I love you, man. And I say, look, I love you in a heterosexually appropriate way. That's me expressing my views and my values. Does that mean that I hate people that aren't heterosexual? No, it's my way is the heterosexual way, right? So we have a young lady by the name of Sally who was a little upset with me. She didn't even say Kevin. She goes, you have a hard time discerning truth from fact because of the agenda you cling to. Yes, our agenda here, Sally, is faith, family, and freedom. Of course, we love our community. We thank God each and every day to have the chance to reach people like you. Part of the hatred that spews continually from your mouth has to do with your own self-image. I love it. I've only been doing this for 20 years. I'm soon to be 47, and Sally, that listens and says I'm a hate-filled, I guess, bigot, is going to psychoanalyze me. So, folks, when you have a problem with a boss at work or some negative feedback, you're in the K. Milley militia. You're joining the club with me, so sing along with me, shall you? It's such a shame, Kevin, that you can't be more objective. You claim to hold Christian values, yet even when a male caller says, love you, Kevin, you reply, love you too, in a heterosexual kind of way. I didn't know that was an issue. You are a homophobe and pathetic. According to Sally, I guess Sally's a promoter of tolerance, but just called me names. See, it proves my point that if you disagree with the liberal loons, that they name call. Well, Kevin, you name call. Well, she started it. Who's the adult here, Kevin? See, you don't even have to speak. I'm doing your part for you. Love is love, and that's what we all need to practice. And then she gets personal. Gee, nobody's ever made fun of my weight before. I remember when I was doing a television show, a nightly show in Pittsburgh, that was seen all over the place. I called myself the fattest man on TV. Look, lady, you calling me a fatty has no impact on my life. You calling me hateful and homophobe, well, that's lies. So anyway, here's the fatty comment. Maybe if you lost 100 pounds, you would start feeling more kindly to others. Look, if you want to put the gay agenda on, we'll have a nice debate. But the truth is that if you come out and say, I'm in favor of a man marrying a woman, instead of a man marrying a man, you have people like Sally who decide they have nothing better to do than to make fun of people. And you can ask activists. You can ask our friend Julie, who was on. There have been threats against her. Of course, the pro folks in the media will never give a conservative that kind of attention and publicize the death threats. Chief Masterson, who's in the bag for Add the Words, would probably never investigate threats against elected officials or concerned citizens or operatives that are just trying to exercise their right to free speech. I mean, what does it say that our police chief, is he left yet? Our police chief is up there in his uniform lobbying politically for an agenda. I don't know that when we hired this guy that he was going to be the lobbyer in chief when he was not on patrol. I guess it's his world. We just live in it. 27, right? Keep it here. Fox News on the radio next. Kay Milley with you. Thank you all for joining us. 580 KIDO. Good morning.